graduated from Cambridge. He went to Cambridge to study for the ministry. So he was ready to become a minister. Graduated at 22, and one of his professors, Hinslow, was a botanist. Knew that there was a voyage and that they were looking for someone to accompany the captain as a sort of companion, but also would be allowed to do natural history, and thought this would be great for Darwin. And so Darwin asked his father if he could do that. His father said, "That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of in my life. Absolutely no." Fortunately, Darwin's uncle, Wedgwood, weighed in and interceded and convinced his father, Robert, that it wasn't such a bad idea after all. And so Darwin went on the voyage. Well, the voyage was 5 years. He saw an enormous amount. When he got back, he moved to London and spent time studying his collections and trying to make sense. There were a number of questions that he was asking, that the other naturalists were asking, but really came home to him on his voyage, such as, where do new species come from? He had seen on the Galapagos that there were things like iguanas that are found nowhere else in the world. But the islands themselves are geologically recent. So they're not maybe like 10,000 years old. So where did those Galapagos iguanas come from? They're not found anywhere else, but they're here. You know, would God create separate species everywhere in the world in this changing world that we have? It seems to sort of stretch your imagination to imagine God worrying about so many beetles and so on. Anyway, so that was, you know, he was worried about that. He was considering, you know, why there is the diversity that we find, why do we find the patterns of distribution that we find, etc. So he was pondering these, what you'd call cutting-edge issues of the day and looking at his collections. And he quickly saw, after like maybe a year, that if he assumed that animals could change, species could change, that is to say they were not created by God in a fixed form, that would solve all of these problems, the relationship of fossils to living forms, distribution, etc. But he couldn't figure out how animals changed. And he didn't want to rush into print and publish an essay unless he could explain scientifically how the change came about. And so he spent almost 3 years thinking about this. And then one day, because he was a very well-read person, he picked up a book by the Reverend Thomas Malthus that had to do with population. There was a recession at the time, and people were talking about social reform, and Malthus's book was a book that was being batted around by lots of people at the time, so he picked it up for that reason. And Malthus talks about population pressure, how the human population was increasing faster than our ability to grow food, and there was an inevitable struggle for existence. While reading that, Darwin just suddenly said, aha! That's what's happening. I mean, he could make the analogy to the animal world, what ultimately becomes the concept of natural selection. So you know, animals reproduce at a rate that's faster than the food supply. Why do some animals survive and others not? Well, the ones that are better fit survive and leave offspring. And so suddenly his notebooks go from being very dry, very matter-of-fact recording facts to this very excited narrative. He suddenly is putting it all together. At the same time, he also is shocked by the implications. For example, in one of his notebooks, this is March 12th, the following year, he writes, "It's difficult to believe in the dreadful but quiet war of organic beings going on in the peaceful woods and smiling fields." I mean, he'd grown up on things like William Paley's natural theology that described the world as God's creation, a world of balance and harmony. And suddenly Darwin realized it's not a world of balance and harmony. It's a world of struggle and strife. And he was sort of shocked by it. And similarly, in another one of his, I don't have the date on this one, but it's about the same time. He suddenly realizes that humans are just animals. I mean, we're just another species. I mean, you know, all going back to the Greeks, humans are always considered the most perfect animal, the privileged animal, and so on. Suddenly Darwin sees it from the evolutionary standpoint, that we're just another species that's evolved. He writes, the fabric falls. In other words, if you think about this in any way, the whole picture of nature that we have collapses. And then he writes sarcastically, but man, wonderful man, is an exception. Then he then goes on to say, he's a mammal. His origins have not been indefinite. He is not a deity. His end under present form will come. How dreadfully we are deceived. He is no exception. I think he feels that the rug has been pulled out from underneath him. All the stuff that he grew up thinking is just not true. And as people would react to him later, he's reacting to his own ideas. And you sort of see that this human side of Darwin.